In 1967, Joan Didion wrote an essay called Goodbye to All That, a work of such candid and penetrating prose that it soon became the gold standard for personal essays. Like no other story before it, Didion's tale of loving and leaving New York captured the mesmerizing allure Manhattan has always had for writers, poets, and wandering spirits. In the new collection Goodbye to All That, Writers on Loving and Leaving New York, 28 writers take up Didion's literary legacy by sharing their own New York stories. The book is edited by Sari Botten. They also share stories of grief that comes like a gut punch when the metropolis loses its magic and the pressures of New York's frenetic life wears thin on even the most fervent dwellers. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Sari Botten to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
This is such a cool book and such a... it's a great read. It's a lot of fun.
Oh, great. Thank you. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
What brought you to it, of putting it together in a way, especially around Didion's work, which I found fascinating?
Well, I've always admired her writing, her work, and
I love her.
Yeah, she's amazing. And that particular essay, I mean, it's just... I don't know the first time I read it. I was a journalism student at SUNY Albany. I read a lot of personal essays. And I don't know the first time I read it, but it stuck with me. And then when I got kicked out of my apartment in the East Village 8 years ago, it stuck with me even more. And then I moved upstate and met a lot of people with Goodbye to All That stories of their own. And we just all compared notes. And it just seemed like a no-brainer to me.
I guess that's one of the things of living where we do, of in the Hudson Valley, in the Berkshires, in Vermont. We become a corridor of either former New Yorkers or part-time New Yorkers.
Absolutely. Everybody I meet up here has lived in New York City at some point.
Yeah.
Most of the people that I'm friendly with in my area are products of what I call the downtown diaspora. You know, people moving up from downtown Manhattan or Brooklyn.
One of the things that I have always thought that sort of has been my go-to thought on this is that there's a certain point in your life where you are physically, emotionally capable of living in New York, and then you grow out of that, and then you have to go somewhere else. In reading your book, there are certainly cases for that and certainly examples of that, but not entirely so.
No, actually, I made a point of not having all the stories have the exact same arc and the same arc as Didion's story. I really didn't want it to only be people who have left New York forever. I didn't want it to be a collection of 28 anti-New York screeds. It's really, a lot of them are love letters to New York.
So, I mean, it's a lovely, you don't come out of this saying, oh my God, I hate that place. It's a loving book to New York.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like, I don't know anybody who doesn't have a love-hate relationship with New York City, who has lived there or who lives there. And but I made a point of having some authors in there who still live in New York City or who came back after leaving.
And when, like Joan Didion, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, one of the things about it is that even if you leave, you still have a connection to it. You still go back to it because you really can't. Most, especially people, especially writers, especially people in any artistic pursuit, you know, you have to go back.
You
really
do.
Can't get away from it.
Yeah, it's true. I go back a lot. There's a piece of me, as I say in my introduction, if I win the lottery, the first thing I do is buy an apartment in New York City. I mean, it still has this gravitational pull. I also keep a MetroCard in my wallet so that I don't feel like I've stopped being a New Yorker. I just kind of...
I have a MetroCard in my wallet.
I'm
like not a New Yorker. It never was. But you know, I go there a lot. You know, you just feel like you should... As I said, you almost have to go check in and then come
out
again.
Do. What's really unnerving for me is when I go there and everything is different, or like I make a plan to meet somebody someplace and the place doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
And it's like, wait a minute, am I really a New Yorker?
Cheryl Strayed, Emma Straub, Anne Hood, some really incredible writers who are included in this book.
I got very lucky.
Yeah.
I really got very lucky. I think that it's an idea that people really latched onto, and a lot of writers have in their mind, you know, this essay, and they just wanted to write their version of it. And when I went to every one of them, they just said yes.
And when you think of what it, there's so many different perspectives in here, and that's another thing that I liked about it, and you touched on this a moment ago, but some, there's the native New Yorker perspective of the born and bred person and whose family has lived there, and then all of a sudden, you know, I have to go somewhere else, to the person who grew up maybe in the Midwest and then goes to New York and then says, okay, I've, you know, I have to go home again.
Yeah, that was Roxane Gay. Yeah. She's a great writer. And she, when I originally approached her, she was like, well, I've never lived there. You know, I said, but do you have any kind of, you know, love, hate relationship with it? And she said, actually, I've got people in there. Also, I've got a few native New Yorkers. Some, Emma Straub had to go back. Her husband wanted to move to L.A. And she was like, nope, going back to New York City. But then I've also got Rebecca Wolf, who has this really jaded approach.
I love Rebecca Wolf's essay.
Yeah, me too. I really love it. She's like, I grew up there and I don't get what everybody else gets about it. And I love that.
Yeah. How much of it do you think, I was trying to think of that, but actually my wife and I were talking about this, of how much of it do you think is a city and how much of it is quintessentially New York?
I think it's quintessentially New York. It's funny, there's been a lot of reactions online on the internet to the book, most positive, but a couple of them are like, what makes her think that this is any different than leaving Baltimore or Philadelphia or Paris? And you know what? It is really different. New York, every city has its trade-offs. You know, you give up certain things to live in a really celebrated place, but right. New York, It's a dicier trade-off. It will often cost you more than it gives back to you, but then it's kind of like being at this slot machine and you don't want to give up and you stick it out even when it gets kind of gritty, and then something great happens. I mean, it's just, it's the most unusual city in the world, and it's the city where so much, so many celebrated businesses and industries are based.
Yeah, and the, I mean, the other cool thing about it is that once you think, okay, I'm a New Yorker, and you, there's a lot about that label, isn't there? About that label of being a New Yorker.
Oh yeah,
which I think is fascinating.
It is fascinating. The nonprofit group I'm part of, TMI Project, we did a story slam last week called The Last Straw, and it was about loving and leaving New York. But everyone who told a story identified as a New Yorker and was very defensive about, I'm still a New Yorker. I may live in Saugerties, but I'm still a New Yorker. And it's, you know, it's something that people hold on to very dearly. I also, I would not give up my 646 cell phone area code. I went to the Albany Apple store. They wanted to give me an 845, and I was like, no.
Yeah.
And I like went down to New York City so I could, you know.
And that was the way, the whole thing with 212, where people didn't want to, like, oh my, I mean, there was a whole
Seinfeld
episode,
yeah.
You know, do not take away my 212 area code.
Oh yeah, when I was given 646 in Manhattan, I was like, what? Wait, I'm not a 646. And then I get up here and I'm like, no, you don't understand. I'm 646. I'm not 845.
The other thing, and this is a, I think, an undercurrent in some of the essays. It's not a large part of the book, but I do think it certainly plays a part in it a little bit, is how New Yorkers are then perceived when they go elsewhere.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, it's an adjustment. I mean, there is, I don't think New Yorkers are mean, by the way. I think New Yorkers are just, they've got a lot going on, and
right.
They're very efficient. And
but once you've been, once you've sort of been, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Once you've been set up for living in that environment, and then you go to another environment, you know, it's different.
It's so different. I mean, I've really had to learn how to, like, really be patient.
Acclimated was the word I was looking
for. Acclimated, yeah. You know, you have to be patient waiting online in the grocery store. You know, people, they chat with each other, the checkout person and the clientele. And, you know, everything takes longer. And it's actually good. I think it's good. It makes you a better human being for having to take a little more time And also to live somewhere else. I mean, you can also become really provincial being in New York City. There's a whole country out there that's not like New York City. And there are all kinds of other interesting cities. So it's good to get out of there, at least for some time.
When you think of really the future of the city, I mean, we saw a lot. Obviously, there was a mass migration after 9/11. That has dissipated a bit, and a lot of people who moved out moved back. But I mean, do you get a sense of how people, of especially with the burgeoning success of Brooklyn and other boroughs that New York will become less. A little more hospitable to people and not be a place where they will need to escape?
Actually, I think it's becoming a place that's too expensive for most people to really stay very long. It's the gentrification has been exponential. I mean, I know that New York is always changing, and that's just, it's a living organism.
Right.
But it's gentrified so exponentially, so quickly that, you know, I had an apartment on East 13th Street. I left it in 2004. I was paying $722. A year later, four NYU students were splitting it for $2,150. You know, it's just like you can't even imagine how you might manage to live there. People are having to work so much more. You just can't really enjoy it unless you have a lot of
money. People get into that apartment?
Oh my God. It was crazy. It was a tiny apartment. And it was illegal, you know, four girls living there. Yeah. I mean, the cubicles. That's what we actually we went down for the book launch. My husband and I went to Powerhouse Arena in Brooklyn for the book launch, and we stayed at what was called a B&B in the East Village, around the corner from our old apartment. And it was like a hostel. We were staying in a cubicle, and it cost $140.
Yeah,
and it was loud, and I was like, oh my God, it's changing so quickly.
The book is wonderful. It's Goodbye to All That, Writers on Loving and Leaving New York. It is it's just a wonderful read. What events do you have coming up?
We're going to be at the Golden Notebook on November 16th.
Excellent.
It'll
right
be
in
me
Woodstock.
And Eva Tenuto and Janet Steen and a couple others. And then December 15th, we're going to be at Inquiring Minds in New Paltz.
Wonderful. Again, it is Goodbye to All That, Writers on Loving and Leaving New York. Sarah Botten, a great pleasure. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank
Best
you.
Of luck with the book.
Thanks.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.